Okay, the reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 to 23. King Herod and the wise men from the east. So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions. Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him. And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star that they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father, King Herod, as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream, so he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. This is the word of the Lord.
The time between Christmas and New Year, of course, is the time for pantos, traditionally.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Steady, Tiger. You'll get your chance later. So I wonder, has anybody here today been to a pantomime in the last week or so? Right. Oh, good. A few. I was afraid you might all be. Yes, which one did you go and see? There we go.
Snow White on Ice.
Snow White on Ice. Ah, right, okay. Wow, she does amazing, her talents. Yes. Snow White on Ice again. Ah, right, a popular one, that, obviously. Okay, anyone else? Any other pantos represented? Now, of course, in a panto, you have to have two things. We have all sorts of things, but two of the things you have to have a nasty villain, don't you? And so everyone can go boo, hiss and things like that, and then you have to have a happy ending. I think you can't have a pantomime without that. So tell me, Little Red Riding Hood, not seen a panto of that before. Who's the villain?
A big bad wolf played by my dad.
So your dad was a big bad villain. Yes, good thing that you're so different from your father. Okay, and does it have a happy ending?
Yes.
Not from the wolf's point of view, I suppose, but no.
Made a few children cry.
That's not the aim of pantomime. You can tell he's a teacher, can't you? Yes. And how about you? How about Aladdin? Villain?
A man called Abanacus.
Abanacus. Oh, right, okay, I've heard of him. And does it have a happy ending?
Yes, it does.
You can't remember, can you?
Aladdin married the princess.
Ah, good. Aladdin married the princess. That was fine. Good. Okay. And were there any happy endings or any villains of Snow White and Ice?
There was the evil queen.
Ah, an evil queen. Yes. Good. 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 And did it have a happy ending?
Yes.
Good. What happened in the end with Snow White? Did she get married?
Sort of.
Didn't catch that, but perhaps I shouldn't. Okay, so there's some villains there, some happy endings too. Now, while I was preparing the talk for today, I was thinking about the Christmas story. And I was trying to think, in the Christmas story, there must be a bad guy. There must be a villain, because every good story has a villain. And I was thinking and thinking and scratching my head and pulling my hair out, as you can see. And I thought, there must be. Who is it? Well, it couldn't be the shepherds. I mean, they were good. It couldn't be the wise men. They were good as well. So, maybe it was the innkeeper, because he wouldn't let Jesus in. But, but then it wasn't really his fault. He was just full. It was really busy. There were lots and lots of tourists. So I just couldn't think who was the villain. Could anyone help me? Has anyone seen a villain for the Christmas story? What, behind me? No, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is. Who on earth are you?
What do you mean, who am I? I am King Herod, you miserable creep. Why are you not bowing?
Sorry, Your Majesty. Oh, I find bowing a bit hard these days. It's the trousers. But, Your Majesty, if I may address you as such, we're trying to have a family service. What are you doing here?
I am the king and I ask the questions. You just do as you're told.
Okay, Your Majesty.
But if you must know, I'm searching.
You're searching? Searching for what?
Well, for the new baby king, of course. Now, haven't you read your Bible recently, you idiot? The one whose birth has caused all this hoo-ha and that wretched star to appear. Enough of this chit-chat. Do you know where the baby king is?
I'm not sure I want to tell you.
I think you should. I only want to worship him and give him lots of presents.
Well, I don't know. He only wants to worship him and give him lots of presents. I don't know, I know. I'll ask the boys and girls and the grown-ups. Boys and girls and grown-ups, should we tell King Herod where the baby Jesus is?
No. You will tell me. I'm a very kind person, really. I work very hard for the good of my kingdom, and I love all my people. I deserve some treats, don't I? I only want to kill the baby so he doesn't sit on my comfy throne and spoil my lovely palace. Go on, please. All right, then. Don't help. See if I care, but just you watch. Or I may have to deal with you too.
Boo! Boo! Yes. So that's who it was. That's the villain in the Christmas story. King Herod, of course. Fancy wanting to kill the baby Jesus. And I wonder if the story has a villain in it, does it have a happy ending? Like all the pantomime stories do. Well, I guess normally the Christmas story does have a happy ending, but only because we stop the story before the end. If you go to a carol service or a nativity play, like the carol service we had here last week, you'll hear all about the wise men and the shepherds, and then it stops when the wise men go home a different way, without telling nasty King Herod that they had found the baby Jesus. But sadly, in reality, evil people like King Herod don't give up that easily. Today, in the rest of the Christmas story that Poppy read to us earlier on, we find out what Herod did next. And it certainly doesn't make for a fairy tale ending. You see, Herod was a king, he was a leader that you should be able to trust, only you couldn't. In fact, he was just like Prince Hans in Frozen. You thought he should be good, but he wasn't. It was only natural for the wise men to go to King Herod. They were looking for a king, and Herod was one. He lived in a palace, so surely he'd be able to help them. But without realising, they'd almost caused the death of the baby king that they were trying so hard to find. Secondly, Herod only cared about hanging on to power for himself. He didn't want anyone else to share his comfy throne. Not even a baby. Not even the long-awaited Messiah. And like Prince Hans in Frozen, he was only interested in number one, in hanging on to power for himself. Thirdly, he was prepared to do anything to make sure that he got what he wanted, even if it meant that lots of innocent people would die, even if those innocent people were just babies. And not just one or two, but every baby in Bethlehem that might possibly be the one that he was looking for. Because of Herod, Jesus and Mary and Joseph had to get up in the middle of the night and run for their lives, with probably just a handful of possessions that they could grab in time before they fled. So because of Herod, they became refugees. We'll see in a moment where they had to go. They had to go hundreds of miles from Bethlehem. They'd already come a long way from Nazareth, and now they had to go even further to a different country, and they had to stay there. In a place where they probably didn't speak the language and where they didn't know anyone and had nowhere to live. So they probably lived in poverty. And they had to spend a certain amount of time there, we don't know how long, before it was finally safe for them to go back home to Nazareth again. So I suppose we'd have to say that the Christmas story doesn't have a happy ending, at least not in the way that fairy stories and pantos do, where all the good guys marry a handsome prince or princess and live happily ever after. Yet, in some ways, I think I prefer a story like that, even though it involved all sorts of suffering, because if the Christmas story was just about angels and shepherds holding fluffy lambs and wise men bringing nice gifts and warm cuddly animals mooing contentedly at a snugly wrapped baby sleeping in heavenly peace in a clean cosy manger, I would have to say that that's nothing like the world that you and I live in. At least with the nasty bits, with the bad stuff in the story, we know that Jesus was born into the real world, where people don't always live happily ever after, and where good, handsome princes are all too often in short supply. Yes, sadly, there are still plenty of Herods around today, rulers and presidents who don't care much about their own people. This guy rules a kingdom, I think you could call it, just next door to where Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. I wonder if anyone recognises him. You may have seen his face in the news over the last few years. Maybe someone who went on the Lebanon team in the summer might recognise this man. Anyone?
President Al-Assad of Syria.
Right. President Assad of Syria. Thank you very much. And he rules a country which, if we have the map again just for a moment, you can see Syria is just a little bit out of the map, not all that far from Nazareth, where Jesus was brought up. And President Assad, he's not actually called a king, but his father ruled before him, and that's why he became president. So I suppose he's a bit like a king. Didn't want to share power with anyone else in his kingdom. And because of that, all sorts of terrible things have happened in his country of Syria. There's a little extract from the BBC News to give you the figures. Some 200,000 people, that's a fifth of a million, isn't it, have died in Syria's increasingly fragmented civil war between the forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad and those opposed to his rule. The bloody internal conflict, now in its fourth year, has destroyed entire neighbourhoods and forced more than 9 million people, 9 million people, from their homes. One of the things that the team did in Lebanon, one of the things that they saw, were the thousands and thousands of people from Syria who've had to flee their country and have fled to Lebanon and other countries as well. Now, of course, as time has gone on, things have gone from bad to worse. It's got more complicated now, and now all sides in the civil war are doing terrible things to each other, as we still see on our news. But it all started, I suppose, because one man, one king, one ruler, wasn't prepared to share his comfy throne with anyone else. And of course, we don't have to go as far as Syria to find bad stuff going on. We can find people like Herod much nearer home, people who we thought we could trust, but then found we couldn't. Maybe we've heard friends at school, or rather people we thought were friends, gossiping about us, or betraying us in one way or another. And to be honest, it's not just other people who do bad things. If we're honest, then we have to admit that we're just as bad too. Sometimes because we don't mean to, sometimes because we do mean to, and sometimes because we just don't do the good things that we could have done. So yes, Jesus was born into a world just like ours, a world full of bad stuff and weak people, and that crazy mixed up world is still going strong today. And yet, in case I depressed you too much, there is good news. There's good news even in the sad story that we read today. Yes, even in the midst of all the bad stuff, there is things that we can be grateful to God about. Firstly, we see in this bit of the Christmas story that God had a plan. God had a plan for his son Jesus. A plan for him not to die as a baby, but rather to grow up to be a man who would go around telling people good news about God, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and in the end, dying and rising again, so that we can be saved from our sins. Herod could make it difficult, but in the end, for all his power, he couldn't stop God's plan from coming true. And if we ask Jesus to come into our lives, and if we decide to follow him, then we too are God's children. And that means that God has a good plan for our lives too, which no one can stop. Secondly, we learn that God guides us in our lives, even when we have difficult decisions to make. God guided the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod after they'd found the child. God guided Joseph in a dream to flee from Bethlehem with Jesus and Mary to run away to Egypt, and then guided him again when it was finally safe to go back home to Nazareth. Now, God may not guide people so often in dreams nowadays. I can truthfully say that I think none of my many weird dreams, I can truthfully say none of them have been God guiding me. But he still guides us when we ask him to. And he helps us to make the right choice when we don't know what to do. And we can find out what he's guiding us to do often just by praying and asking him, or by reading the Bible, or by talking to other friends and Christians. And then there's a third point, which isn't on the screen, because I only really thought of it when we saw the little clip from Frozen, being like Paul Boosie Murray here, going off message. But do you remember in Frozen, there was that little, the last words that Anna said to Prince Hans, "Only true love can save us." Now, those words aren't in the reading we read today, but that's what underlies the whole story, isn't it? The whole story of Christmas, that God loves us so much that he can change our lives around. He can make such a difference because he loves us so much. So, to finish, What are you expecting as you look ahead to the new year, to 2015? Are you hoping for a happy, even a fairy tale ending? Or, as you look ahead, do you only see bad stuff and problems and difficult people in your way? Well, whatever the year holds, either way, God has a plan for you. A plan which, if you follow it, will eventually lead you to the best place of all, eventually, the place that we call heaven, where there truly is only happiness and peace, where there are no King Herods, and there is no evil or suffering or pain. And that, surely, is better even than living happily ever after with the most beautiful princess or even the most handsome prince. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will be with us in the year ahead. And particularly we want to pray for those who are facing difficult decisions or tough times in the year ahead. Thank you that you have a plan for us all, and help us to trust you, to know deep in our hearts that you will work out your plan for us, whether things are difficult or easy. So Father, we pray especially for those today who are filled with fear and uncertainty about what the future holds. Give them hope and give them the knowledge of your love. And then let's pray for countries, of which there are many today, where the rulers and those who are powerful don't care about the people they rule. We thought of Syria earlier on, but there's similar troubles in Iraq and in southern Sudan and in northern Nigeria, to mention just a few places where there is fighting and uncertainty. Father, we pray for all those in authority. We pray that they will rule for the benefit of their people, for the good of their people. And we pray, though, for those countries where that isn't at the moment the case, where there is no freedom for people to disagree with the king or the president or the leader. We pray that across the world your love will spread so that people learn how to treat each other with love and forgiveness, with the mercy that you have shown to us. And Father, particularly be in those situations where the disagreements have broken out into war and people are being killed or held captive or wounded because of the fighting and the disagreements between different people in the country. So Father, we bring these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.